Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is tempting on this day of St. Peter and St. Paul to look at these two men as the men who built the early church. Peter through his leadership of the apostles, and Paul through the Gentile mission. Indeed, there is a significant segment of Christianity that views Christ's lordship of his church as if Christ were an absentee or is an absentee landlord. He has finished his work of salvation through his perfect life, his atoning sacrificial death, his victorious resurrection, and now is up there, leaving the work of building his church to the apostles and then to us here down on earth. Thus, the church sometimes views her creation as the act of Christ through the Holy Spirit, sending that Spirit, but the ongoing upbuilding of the church, that is ours, not the work of Christ. This misunderstanding is visible in the fact that the Roman Church has, over time, even established a substitute for Christ here on earth, namely an earthly head in the papacy. Our reading, this text from Matthew, even serves as the proof text for a Petrine succession of the Roman popes. The church has not only often been confused about concerning who builds the church, but also how it's built. She has, over the centuries and to this very time, been lured by her own sinful flesh and the seductive voice of Satan to substitute false teaching in place of the forgiveness of sin through faith in the crucified Christ as her central banner and her clarion call to the world. We may think that indulgences, whether those of Luther's day in Germany or the modern ones from the Fort Wayne Diocese, are crass, but then we may be among, we who are students or future pastors, may be among those Lutherans who are running headlong after the latest marketing strategies and sociological techniques that promise impressive numerical growth in the church. In the midst of the confusion of who builds the church and how it's built, come the clear words, the clear voice of Christ in this text. I will build my church, and the powers of the underworld shall not prevail against her. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who will build the church? Christ says with an emphatic first person, I will build my church. This statement is especially interesting in light of where he made it, ancient Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a city that contained temples, honoring the Roman emperor, honoring various false gods of the Greco-Roman world, especially the god Pan, in Greek, very significant, Pan meaning all. And the people of Caesarea Philippi saw Pan as somewhat of an all-encompassing god. In the shadow of these very temples, there is a great rock cavern, hewn into the rock. And there they saw that place, the ancients of first century Caesarea Philippi, as an entry to the underworld, an entry to the powers of the underworld. And there was a sanctuary for the god Pan there, one of the things that drew worshippers to Caesarea Philippi. In the shadow of these impressive sites of political and religious power, Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and indeed the adjective is very important, living God. Such a confession did not come, as Jesus said, from Peter's flesh and blood, from his own fallen intellect and poor insight, which was naturally drawn to the false gods memorialized in that city, but it was revealed by the true and living God. In the midst of the sights around him, knowing the weakness of Peter's own flesh and blood, Christ assures him, the other disciples, and us today, "I will build my church, and the powers of the underworld shall not prevail against her." Christ was not only building his church when he graciously called Peter and the 11 into the kingdom and then sent them forth with the keys of the kingdom, which he talks about here in our text, but he was continuing to build the church when years later, maybe just a few miles, if that, from this very city, he appeared on the road to Damascus as the risen Jesus of Nazareth to the Apostle Paul, calling Saul from being his persecutor to being one who with Peter boldly confessed Christ to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul's flesh and blood had denied Christ, was persecuting Christ, but the living Christ who came to him on that road and then 3 days later in the waters of his baptism overcame that blindness. Christ was building his church long after ascending into heaven, calling men with sinful flesh and blood such as Peter and Paul that he might dwell in them, speak through them, act through them for the continued building of his church. And Christ has continued to build his church in spite of the powers of this world and underworld that have sought to crush her. He is no absentee landlord who has been on holiday since the apostolic age. It's noteworthy that archaeological evidence in Caesarea Philippi confirms that a Christian basilica was built probably right on the site of one of those early pagan temples. And we also have literary evidence from the 3rd century that the pastor of this congregation in Caesarea Philippi was one of the faithful bishops that contributed to the affirmation we know as the Nicene Creed. He was there. His name was Philocus. Philocus was there at Nicaea, certainly supporting the confession of the true God, the living God, the triune God, at the Council of Nicaea in 325. Even as Christ called and sent Paul, Peter, and Philocus, he continues to call, to send pastors as Christ speaks, washes, and feeds his church through the sometimes weak flesh and blood pastors, empowering them, empowering you in the future to confess him as the true and living God in the face of all of the pagan and false temples that scatter the countryside around us. When we are intimidated by the power of the world, the skyscrapers, by the power of the underworld, Satan himself, when we wonder about the ability of our own flesh and blood in facing those powers, Christ assures us, I will build my church. How does he build it? The other day, Professor Dr. Lockwood talked about the keep it simple. Certainly Christ was keeping it simple for his disciples. He says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom." Indeed, the apostolic ministry of Peter and Paul, with which many of you will be entrusted, centers on the forgiveness of sins. Hear that? Say it again. Forgiveness of sins. What's the ministry all about? Christ's ministry. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. How is he going to build the church? Forgiveness of sins. Even as the earthly ministry of Jesus was centered on offering himself as a ransom, as a payment for all sin on Calvary's cross, so also the continuation of his ministry focuses and centers on nothing else than the forgiveness won on that cross, as it's given in the here and now and today, as it's delivered through the office of the keys, the binding and loosing of sins. Forgiveness of sins is what Jesus is all about. So it is what Peter and Paul were all about. So it is what we who continue the ministry of Christ in his church are all about. Some of the simplest but most profound and clear words that define the pastoral office, that apostolic office into which many of you will one day be called or have already been called into, are the words, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins." As you sit in the pews and hear that absolution on Sunday, close your eyes in awe. You are hearing Christ bringing today forgiveness to you, bestowing the forgiveness that he won on the cross to you in that moment, in those very words your pastor speaks. And when you, week after week, someday down the road, speak those words, don't ever let them become routine. Heaven is being bestowed. Awesome powers of darkness are being overthrown with those simple words, "I forgive you your sins." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is how Christ builds his church, bringing the benefits of his death and resurrection to fallen flesh and blood in the here and now, so that they too, all of those who hear those words, may exclaim with the blessed apostolic band, Peter and Paul and the whole church, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.